This is a good one.
Thank you.
Oh. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand of praise this morning. Come on, just give the Lord a hand of praise. Give Him a shout today. Lord, we praise You. We bless You. We worship You. We magnify You. What a beautiful name is the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of folks were partying last night, but we're partying this morning. How many of you believe the best way to start out at the new year is by giving honor, by worshiping God, by honoring Him, by seeking Him, by coming into His house? That's what we're doing this morning. Amen. This is a new year. And family, I believe this is going to be a much better year for you than last year was. I sense in my heart, in my spirit, I sense abundance, blessing. This is a year we're going into. I sense in my heart a time of great blessing. Amen. So we just start out this new year, Lord, by honoring You, by worshiping You. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness in our life. This past year, in 2016, we thank You for protecting us. We thank You for providing for us. We thank You for taking care of us. We thank You for delivering us, Lord. We thank You for helping us. Father, as we step now and begin a brand new year, Lord, we dedicate this year to You. We start out this year by giving You praise, by lifting up the name of Jesus, by calling upon the Lord. The Bible says whoever calls upon the Lord, they will be saved. The Word of God says, call to Me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I believe God wants to show us great and mighty things this year. I believe God wants to do great and mighty things in your life this year. So let's call upon Him. Church, let's call upon Him. Let's worship Him. Let's lift our voice. Let's lift our hands. Let's give Him praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, to the Most High God. Hallelujah. We celebrate, Lord. We thank You for this year before us. Let's call upon the Lord. Amen. Tell your neighbor, call upon the Lord. Say, I will call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I call upon You today. Amen. Come on, let's sing it out together. Let's worship the Lord together.
Oh, 17, the Lord. We're expecting the Lord to do great things in our life and in this church and in this city and this nation. In Jesus' name, if you're expecting God to do great things in your life this year, give Him a shout. Clap your hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you came with your praise clothes on today, man. You got it down today, man, didn't they? Yeah, that was good. I feel such an excitement. I feel such a presence of the Lord. I feel such an anointing here today. Something's going to happen here today. You know why? You know why? Because you're hungry. You see, we've got the people here this morning that you got up and you came to church. It doesn't matter. I went to bed at 2 a.m. But you got up. Not everybody did. But let me tell you right now, God honors that. That's why there's something here this morning. Because we got, the Bible says, if you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. God looks for hungry hearts. You see, you're here this morning because you're hungry. You're hungry for more of God. You're hungry for Him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And that's why there's such an enthusiasm and such an excitement here today. Hey, I'm charged up, man. I came in here a little bit, maybe just a little bit tired. But that tiredness all gone away, boy. I am ready. Tell your neighbor, Happy New Year. I'm glad you're here this morning.
Happy New Year. You may be seated. Thank you. Wonderful. Happy New Year, family. Wonderful. So good to see you. Isn't it great that the first thing we're doing on the first day of the new year is coming to honor God. I love that it falls on a Sunday. What a blessing. There's a big, God finds first things very important. What do you do with the first day of your week? What do you do with the first part of your money? What do you do with the first part of your day? What do you do with the first part of your year, right? And so we're here to worship God. I'm excited for the message to stir us up with vision for the new year. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? Yes, we do. And if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you, but we'd like to just give you a gift bag wherever you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time today? Yeah, oh, God bless you. Welcome. Thank you. One of our young ushers in training coming right up to you. Thank you. We appreciate the young men serving in the church, right?
Amen.
We do. And in that gift bag, there's a couple of things. One's a teaching CD for Pastor Steve, and there's a white card. We ask you to just fill that white card out. At the end of the service, we just drop it in the offering bag. So thanks so much for coming. And the pastor. Always busy, busy, busy. Wonderful. Thank you, my dear.
Trying to fix up the screen because you can't see it with all the light shining on it. Can you?
No.
We need to get an LED screen in this church. We need an LED. That's what we need. I found it in China. Now they're going to send it to you. But it's like you can shine spotlights right on it. It's bright like outside. And we can put it out in the sunshine. That's what we need to get. But I want you to be able to see the scripture this morning, and I don't want you to miss any of that. So I don't know what we can do. If there's anything we can do this morning. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Can anyone bring their Bible to church? Well, I have a powerful word from the Lord to share with you. When you came in today, did you get your My Vision Goals Resolution 2017? Did you get one of these? You want to make sure you have one of those. Now, don't be filling it all out now while I'm preaching, because you'll miss what I'm saying. This is for you to take home. This is for you to go and pray over, for you to think about, to put down your goals, to put down your vision, to put down your resolutions. I'm going to explain what that means. So, you're going to keep that in your Bible if you've got a really big Bible, or fold it over. But I think it's good to keep that in your Bible and then just keep thanking God and praying over it this year, because I'm believing we're going to see wonderful things come to pass this year. Amen? I want to speak about vision. How that your vision determines your future. Tell your neighbor, your vision determines your future. Today we start a brand new year. And I really believe God wants to do great things in your life this year. But we have to do our part. And I want to share some important things with you to make this the best year possible. Number one, I'm going to share 6 things. You may want to write these down. Number one, you've got to let go of the past and look forward.
Amen.
In the words of the epic Disney movie that has been frozen in my mind. Let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Paul said, I'm not perfect. There's a lot of things I haven't done. He said, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. What do you focus on, Paul? This one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You've got to forget the past. You've got to forget the mistakes, the disappointments of 2016. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall he not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God's about to do a new thing in your life.
Amen.
Say, God's doing a new thing in my life this year. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Don't remember the former things. Don't remember the mistakes and the disappointments of the past. But you need to forget the past and you need to press forward. So many people live in the past. God wants to do new things, great things in this new year. But for Him to do that, you've got to first let go of the things in the past. The way that you exit 2016 is the way that you enter 2017.
Amen.
Let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go.
Let
go of the hurts. Let go of the disappointments. Let go of the mistakes. And enter into this new year with expectancy and with hope and with faith. Whatever it was, listen, get over it. Whatever it was, tell your neighbor, get over it. Leave the baggage in 2016. Get rid of the distractions distracting you. Forget the past. We are pressing, moving, looking forward.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, if you're going to have a great year, the second thing you've got to do after forgetting the past and pressing forward is you've got to have a big vision for 2017. You've got to have a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, in verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision. What are we believing God for in 2017? What is a vision? The word vision comes from the Latin word videra, and it literally means to see. To vision means what you see. In fact, the dictionary defines the word vision as a vivid mental image or the formation of a mental image of something that is not perceived as real. It's not present to the senses. A vision is something you see in your mind, in your heart, with the eyes of faith. You see into the future. A vision is powerful. Studies tell us that we move towards what we consistently see. Whatever you consistently see, that's what you're going to move towards. Notice the scripture doesn't say where there's no money, the people perish. It doesn't say where there's no opportunity, the people perish. It doesn't say where there's no talent. It says where there's no vision. You see, what limits us is a lack of vision. A lack of vision limits you. Too many people today, they're stuck in a rut. And it's not because they're not talented. It's not because they don't have God's favor. It's because their vision is limited. They don't see themselves accomplishing their dreams. They don't see themselves being promoted. They don't see themselves living healthier. They just see more of the same. But what you see, that's what you're moving towards. What do you see in your future? Because we all have vision. Every one of us has a picture in our mind of ourselves, of our family, of our future. But the question is, what does your picture look like? Do you see yourself rising higher? Do you see yourself overcoming those obstacles? Do you see yourself living an abundant, victorious life? Or is the picture you have of yourself one of struggling, defeated, addicted, overweight, never getting any good breaks? The pictures you allow in your mind determine the kind of life that you live. A very powerful scripture in Proverbs 23 verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The Bible says the way you think in your heart, the way you see yourself in your heart, it's a big factor in what you become. You see, the way you see yourself, the way you see your future determines what you become. Your vision is your future. Say, my vision determines my future. Now, what I want to do this morning, I'm attempting, is to preach vision to you today. I want you to walk out of here with a big vision for 2017. Amen? And you've got to protect your vision. Because if your vision is limited, your life will be limited. You know, there's 7 times in the Bible where God asks somebody, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? See, God's interested in our vision. Before your dream comes to pass, you've got to see yourself accomplishing that dream. You've got to have a picture of it. Before you lose that weight, before you break that addiction, you've got to see it happening in your imagination. See the pictures that you keep in front of you. That's your vision. It only, not only does it drop in your spirit, but it gets into your subconscious mind. And once something is in your subconscious mind, without even thinking about it, just like gravity, you begin to move towards it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A lot of people have negative images in their subconscious mind. They see themselves defeated. They see themselves inferior. And they wonder why it feels like there's something pulling against them. It's like something pulling against me. It's because you've got the wrong images. If you will change those pictures and start seeing yourself the way God sees you, blessed. God says you're blessed. Prosperous. Healthy. Strong. Successful. Then instead of, if you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, then instead of having something pulling against you, you'll have something pulling for you. You'll be moving toward blessing, toward favor, toward increase. You see, our imagination is incredibly powerful. In fact, in Genesis, we've got the account of the Tower of Babel, where they built this tower, and God said this in Genesis 11, verse 6. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them." God said, nothing they imagine they can do will be impossible because they're in unity. They're with one vision. They're with one language. There's nothing that they cannot do. That's the power of imagination. It's the power of vision. Once you get a picture of it, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you're going to begin to move towards it. I mean, some things may seem very unlikely. Don't ever say, "I just can't imagine that happening to me." Pastor Steve, I could just can't imagine that ever happening to me. You see somebody really fit, you know, somebody in good shape. And you're trying to lose some weight. Don't say, "I could never imagine anything like that." You drive through a nice neighborhood. You see a beautiful house. Don't say, "I just can't imagine ever living in a house like that." Because you're limiting yourself. You're being limited by your own imagination. You've got to change what you're seeing. Don't let the enemy paint pictures in your mind. Use your imagination to see yourself as God sees you, rising higher, accomplishing your dreams, overcoming obstacles, being blessed, being prosperous, healthy, strong, well able. Amen. I told you this before. I read about a study they did with some people that needed arthroscopic knee surgery. Their knees were worn down. And they needed their knees, the joints, to be cleaned out. And so these doctors, they got the permission from their family. And on a certain number of patients, instead of actually performing the surgery, they simply put the patients under anesthesia. And then they made three tiny incisions around the knee. But they didn't do anything else. They didn't do the surgery. And when the patient woke up, they thought they had the surgery. What's interesting is two years later, the patients that had the fake surgery reported just as much relief from pain as the patients that had the actual surgery. And it wasn't just in their mind. When the doctors examined their knees over time, they could see their knees had actually improved. And the doctor's conclusion was, since the brain expected the knee to get better, it got better, it helped it to heal. You could say that the doctors tricked the patients into having a new image, a new vision, and like gravity, they moved towards it. Let's say it this way. Maybe you don't feel blessed, but if you get in agreement with God, and if you get a picture and a vision of yourself blessed, then you're going to begin to move towards that. Your brain is going to say, "Come on, let's get with the program. Let's get going. They're supposed to be blessed." Your brain sees you blessed. The medical report, maybe it doesn't look good. But instead of seeing yourself going downhill, start seeing yourself strong. Start seeing yourself healthy, full of energy. That's what you'll move towards. Amen. Your dream, maybe it looks impossible in the natural, but I'm asking you to look out through your eyes of faith and see yourself moving into that new home. See yourself getting married. See yourself taking that missions trip. When you see yourself accomplishing your dream, then all these unseen forces begin to move in your direction. That's what happened with Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations, that he was going to have many children, and that he was going to give him the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. Right?
Yes.
In the natural, it looked impossible because he was 75 years old and he didn't have any children. And his wife was unable to have children. His wife was barren and he's 75, so it looks impossible. But what's interesting is God didn't just give Abraham the promise. God gave him a vision to look at. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Do you know that's what you do when you have vision? You lift up your eyes from where you are and you look to where you're going. You look to where you want to be. You don't look at where you are right now. You lift up your eyes. You've got to lift up your eyes. Tell your neighbor, lift up your eyes. Look from where you are to where you're going. He says, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants. Now, you know what's amazing? There's a big thing going on right now in Israel over the land. Anyone aware of this? Has anyone watched the news at all? There's a big thing going over this little land, the Gaza Strip. You know, big debate. You know what's amazing? You go and study the land that God gave to Abraham. Do you know that according to the scripture, God gave Abraham, if you go and study out, go and look at it, not only the land of Israel, part of Egypt, all of Syria, part of Jordan, part of Saudi Arabia, actually what God gave them is much more than the land Israel is occupying right now.
That's right.
God gave it to them. Now, I don't know about you, but if you want to get in the middle of fighting over what God has decreed is theirs, I ain't going to do that. You go right ahead. I'm not going to say, no. I know God said this, but this is what we think. I find that interesting. Amen? And so God said to Abraham, all the land you see, I'm going to give you. What you see, I'll give you. God gave him a vision. Look, lift up your eyes, Abraham. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everything you see, I'm going to give you. That's what you've got to do. You've got to lift up your eyes from where you are right now. And you've got to look at that picture, that vision of where you want to be. God said in verse 16, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. That if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. So every time Abraham looked at the desert, can you see the desert? Can you just vaguely make it out there? Every time he looked at the sand, what did he see? Children. Amen?
Yes.
God told him, look at the sand. Because that's how many descendants you're going to have. You ever picked up a handful of sand at the beach?
Yeah.
How many grains of sand are in that handful? You can't even number it, right? So every time he looks at the sand, what does he see? The vision. Children. Then God didn't stop there. In Genesis 15, verse 5, it says, then God brought Abraham outside. He said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to number them, he said, so shall your descendants be. See the stars, Abraham? I count one. Do you ever try to count the stars?
Yeah.
I mean, no, you can't do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You see the stars, Abraham? Yes, Lord. That's how many children you're going to have. So every time Abraham looks at the stars, what is he reminded of?
Children.
Every time he looks at the sand in the desert, what's he reminded of? The promise. So day and night, the vision is before him. Right? Why did God give Abraham a picture? Why did God say, look at the stars, look at the sand? Because it helped him to believe. The Bible says in Genesis 5 verse 6, right after God said, look at the stars, that's how many children you're going to have. The next verse says, then Abraham believed the Lord. Do you know when you get a vision, it helps you to believe God? God knew there would be times when it seemed like the promise was never going to happen. When Abraham was tempted to get discouraged, he would go outside and he would look up at the sky. And when he saw the stars, his faith would rise in his heart. It would help him to believe. In the morning when the thoughts came and told him, you're too old, it's too late. You didn't hear God right. Abraham would look down at the grains of sand. Something would come alive on the inside. His faith would be ignited. His faith would be restored. Listen, just like with Abraham, there will be times when it seems like your dream's not going to happen. It's too big. The medical report looks too bad. You don't have the money. You don't have the connections. You could easily get discouraged. You could easily give up. But like Abraham, you've got to go back to the picture that God gave you. And when you close your eyes, you have to see yourself strong, healthy. See that problem turning around. See your family restored. See yourself paying off your home. See your business expanding and being blessed. Your vision is what's going to keep you encouraged. And God is saying to us, just like He said to Abraham, if you can see it, I'll do it. If you get a vision for it, I'll bring it to pass. Here's my question to you. What's your vision for 2016? 2017? What's your vision for 2017? What do you see when you look into your future? Do you see? You never know what's going to happen. So, when you look in the future, what do you see? Do you think, oh, I've reached my limits? My business is never going to succeed? I'm always going to be lonely? I'm always going to be overweight? I'm always going to be addicted? That's going to keep you where you are. You've got to change what's in the frame. You've got to put a new picture in the picture frame. You've got to start seeing yourself strong, successful, fulfilled. Your life's not going to change until your vision changes. Your life's going to follow your vision. If you've got a small vision, you're going to live a small life. If you've got a big vision, you're going to live a big life. If you will let the seeds of greatness that God has planted on the inside of you take root, and if you will have a big vision, God will take you places that you never thought possible. You don't even have to figure out how it's going to happen. All you've got to do is believe. Because just one touch of God's favor can bring any dream to pass. Amen? Just one good break. Just one phone call. And what looked like an impossibility, all of a sudden it's a reality. Say this, if I can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. Say, if I can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. See, you've got to see it on the inside before it's going to happen on the outside.
Amen.
Have you seen yourself accomplishing your dreams? Have you seen yourself graduating from college? Have you seen yourself healthy, whole, free from addiction, free from sickness? Have you seen yourself blessed, debt-free? What do you see when you look into the future? You know, in 1981, Joel Osteen's mother, her name is Dodie Osteen, she was diagnosed with liver cancer. She dropped down to 89 pounds. Her skin was yellow. The doctors gave her months to live. There's nothing they could do. She prayed and trusted God for healing. And she put pictures up all over her house from a time when she was healthy. On her bathroom mirror, she had a picture of her riding a horse. She put them there to create an image on the inside, because when she looked into the mirror, she saw death staring back at her. And she didn't want that image to become ingrained in her thinking. So instead, everywhere she looked around her house, she had pictures and she saw herself healthy, strong, happy, fulfilling her destiny. That's the image that she let take root on the inside. The doctor said, we'll give you a few months. That's 36 years ago. 36 years later. She's healthy. She's strong. What? She kept her vision.
Amen.
Number three. That brings me to number three. You ready for number three?
Yes.
Not only must you have a big vision, you got to write your vision down and you've got to keep it in front of you. I said you've got to write your vision down. That's what part of this is today. Write down your vision and keep it before you. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says this. Write the vision. Write the vision, make it plain, that he may run who reads it. Write the vision down. You've got to write down your vision, write down your goals. Listen, if you haven't written it down, it's not a vision, it's not a goal, it's just wishful thinking. Amen. You've got to write down your vision, your goals. I encourage you, keep something before you to remind you of your vision. All over your house, you should have up pictures that inspire you, scripture verses that encourage you, mementos that strengthen your faith. I mean, even if it's symbolic, if you're single and you have a desire to be married, put up an empty photo frame on your table at home where you're going to put your wedding pictures. What you see is what you're moving towards. Maybe you put a key on your key ring. That's the key for your new home you're going to buy. When someone says, what's that key? That's the key for my new house. Whatever you're believing for, whatever you're dreaming about, keep something in front of you that reminds you of what God has promised you. I mean, you see this in the scriptures. We see this principle. When Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple of God, he went and he laid the foundation. But then he had such opposition. People came against him. They forced him to stop. For 10 years, no work could be done. Can you imagine? For 10 years, he stopped working on the temple. Then Zechariah, the prophet, came. And he told him to do something very interesting. He said, go get the headstone. Now, the headstone was the stone that was reserved at the final, it was the final piece of stone when the building was complete. They put the headstone on. It was symbolic. It represented the finished product. So the prophet Zechariah says, Zerubbabel, go get the headstone. Why is that important? Then he keep the headstone in front of him. Because every time he looked at it, it reminded him that God is going to finish what he started. When Zerubbabel was tempted to get discouraged, he'd go look at that headstone. It was like God saying to him, I'm still on the throne. I'm going to do what I promised. Just stay in faith. See, some of you, you're not seeing God's best. It's not because you don't have faith. It's not because you don't have talent. It's not because you don't have determination. But it's because you're not keeping the right things in front of you. I said, you're not keeping the right things in front of you. If you can't see it in your vision, you're not moving towards it. Let me ask you, do you have a headstone in front of you? Do you have something that represents the final piece to your dream? Maybe you believe to have a baby. Now, I am not believing to have a baby. And neither are you. We had our babies. We had four. But maybe you believe to have a baby. It's wonderful. Children are a blessing for the Lord. They are greatest blessings in our life. Do you have something that... You know, well, maybe go buy a baby outfit and hang it in your closet where you can see it every day. Keep your vision in front of you. I know people. We know people that were told they didn't have children. He was a bodybuilder. He was, you know, like Mr. Universe. And he couldn't have children because he took steroids. And so the doctor said impossible. You know what they did? She went and she decorated the baby's room. She painted it. She got all the furniture ready. Do you know that they had a little baby? Their first child they adopted... Excuse me. The first child they had, well, the second child was adopted. The first child, that little boy, he's a pastor today. His name's Joshua McCauley, and he was a miracle. Because the doctor said there was no way they could have children. But they didn't accept that. They got the little baby's room ready, and they believed God, and they kept the vision in front of them. Is there anything that you see every day that reminds you of what you're believing for? Something that inspires you. Something that ignites your faith. For instance, if you're believing to move into a nicer house, find a picture of the house you want and put it up on your mirror. If you're believing to go to a certain college, buy the t-shirt and wear it around, and every time you see it, say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're bringing my dreams to pass. Maybe you need to lose 30 pounds. Why don't you put up a picture of yourself in your bathroom mirror when you were 30 pounds lighter? Maybe it would have to be a baby picture for some people. I'm just kidding. There's me, 7 years old. Every day you see it, every day you see your picture, don't get depressed saying, oh, I wish I still looked like that. No, say, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm losing this weight, that I'm healthy, that I'm fit, that I'm in shape, I'm energetic, I'm well able. Amen. You may not be healthy right now, but you've got to keep something in front of you that says you will be healthy. You're moving towards it. Put up pictures in your house. Amen. From the time when you were healthy. Put up scripture verses that encourage you. Call your family in another state. Tell them you're planning on coming to see them. Amen. Make plans to live. Keep the right vision in front of you. Tell your neighbor, write your vision down and keep it in front of them. You know what I encourage people to do? Get a vision board. Get a vision board at your house and put up all the pictures of the things you believe in God for. Pictures of your dream house, whatever your dream is. You see, life tries to push you down. Life tries to put out the fire that God has put on the inside through disappointments and discouraging and bad breaks. And too often we just settle for mediocrity. We lose our vision. We miss the fullness of what God has in our future, family. Some of you, you've got a vision that's too small. God's got a much bigger life than the life you're living, but your vision's too small. Maybe you're letting how you were raised, your environment, maybe the disappointments in the past to set the limits for your life. I want to challenge you. Don't have a small vision for your life. You are not inconveniencing God by believing Him for big things. I said you're not inconveniencing God by believing Him for big things. In fact, it's just the opposite. When you believe God to do something great, when you believe to set a new standard for your family, when you take the limits off of God and you say, Lord, I don't see a way, but I know you have a way, so I'm going to believe for big things. Yeah. I'm going to believe you for a baby. Yeah. I'm going to believe you my business is going to impact the world. I'm going to believe you to be totally healthy, to be totally whole. Let me tell you, when you believe big, then pleasing to God. Do you know the Bible says faith pleases God? It pleases Him. He doesn't say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? No, God is pleased when you have big faith. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. We serve a supernatural God. He's not limited by your resources or by your education or by your background, your nationality, your connections. No, listen, you've got to enlarge your vision. Your parents may have reached a certain level, but I believe God wants you to go further. There should be something you're dreaming about that is too big for you to accomplish on your own.
Yeah.
There should be something you cannot afford, something you're not qualified for. It's going to take God's favor. It's going to take God's blessing to bring it to pass. If you can accomplish your dreams in your own strength and your own talent with your own resources, then your dreams are too small. I said, then your dreams are too small. I want to encourage you, have a big vision. Because that's your faith being released. In Isaiah 54 verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. Now what does that mean? What's he talking about? He's talking about get ready for expansion. In fact, I love the Message Bible. Listen to the Message Bible. It says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. The Message Bible says, think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Now, you know what's amazing about this? God says, get ready. Expand your ground. Expand your tent. Lengthen the cord. Think big. If you read the previous verse, it says, sing, barren woman, you have never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all the childbearing women. God says so. So God is talking to someone who's never had a child, and He says, get ready, expand, think big, and clear the ground. You're going to have more children than those who have children. And He's talking to someone who didn't have any children. God's telling them to think big. God's telling them to make room for many children. Well, enlarge your vision. Same thing I'm telling you today. Enlarge your vision. Think bigger. We serve a big God. Amen. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. You know, I heard, reminds me of a story I heard about a little frog. Have I told you the story before? A little frog born at the bottom of the well. He and his family, they lived down the bottom of this well. He was so happy. He was so content. Swimming around the bottom of the well every day. He thought, man, life is so good. We've got all the water in the world to ourselves in this little well. But as he got older, he noticed there was a light at the top of the well. He wondered what was up there. One day he carefully climbed up the side of the wall of the well, and with great caution he looked over the edge. First thing he saw was a pond. He couldn't believe it. It was thousands of times more water than they had in the well. He hopped a little bit more. He came to a lake. He stood in amazement. He hopped a little more. He came to the ocean. I mean, there was water as far as his eyes could see. He began to realize that his vision was limited. He thought that he had it all, but really all that he had was a drop in the bucket compared to what God wanted him to enjoy. Let me tell you, God's dream for your life is much bigger and so much larger and so much more rewarding than what you can even imagine. You haven't touched the surface of what God wants to do in your life. If you believe it, give him praise this morning. So often we like that little frog. We've been enclosed in our little well. Our vision is very limited. It's called our environment, how we were raised. All we've known is a certain way of thinking, a certain way of living. It may not be bad, but God has much more in store. I'm asking us all of this like that little frog. Go a little further than what you're used to. Break out of your box. Look over the horizon. Enlarge your vision. Dream bigger. Think bigger. See bigger. God has oceans he wants you to enjoy. You might be at a place right now that doesn't seem good. Maybe what you see on the outside doesn't match up with what God's put on the inside of you. But don't sit around in self-pity, depressed. Go out and find some place where you can dream. Go to the park and watch the sunset, look up the stars and think about the greatness of God. You've got to get out of that well. You've got to find some place that inspires you, some place your faith will be elevated. That's why it's important to come to a church like Christian Family Church, where people build you up, they don't tear you down, where people are going to challenge you to rise higher, become all that God has created you to be. You see, if you're going to enlarge your vision, you've got to get out of a limited environment. You've got to see yourself somewhere bigger than where you are right now. You've got to see yourself in an atmosphere, get in an atmosphere of victory and success. I mean, we've got friends who run an orphanage in Africa, Yan and Sue. And every week, they take these children, you know, they go down to the slums and they take these kids to the beach. And they call it Dream Day. The kids go play in the sand and the water. And they look at the ocean. And then they talk about, you know, they tell them how God formed them in the womb before they were born. And how they have seeds of greatness within them. And how God has a great plan for their life. And they speak vision into these kids. You know what they're finding? They're finding these children from the slums are overcoming these incredible odds. And they're getting scholarships to college and they're breaking out of poverty and they're becoming leaders in their community. Let me tell you, if you're going to enlarge your vision, you've got to get around other dreamers. You've got to get around people that are going places. Get around people that inspire you to rise higher. If you're the smartest person in your group is too small. You've got to get out of your well. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You need to get around people that know more than you, people that are doing more than you. Don't be intimidated by them. God brings people into our life to help expand our vision.
Yes.
Only small-minded people get jealous. Only small-minded people try to compare and prove that they're really, you know, much better. Don't be insecure. Be inspired. The right attitude is, hey God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for me.
Yeah.
It makes a difference who you associate with. Yeah. Elisha hung around Elijah, he got a double portion. Joshua hung around Moses, and he went to the promised land. Samson hung around compromisers, and he missed his destiny. You see, you've got to get around other dreamers. Your vision's going to be greatly impacted by who you choose to associate with. Do you know a lot of people, their life is limited because of who they surround. I thank God for the people He's put in my life. People who've inspired me. People who've helped me with vision. When I was growing up, before I was even a Christian, before I became a Christian at 16, but before I became a Christian, my father, my dad, he read, you know, he would tell me, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. He got that from Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. My dad read the book Think and Grow Rich. Then we came to learn after we became Christians that Napoleon Hill is a strong believer. And that all the principles he put in his book, he got out of the Bible. Are you with me? When we went to Christian Family Church, Johannesburg in 1979, the pastor, founded by Pastor Theon Bibb, Womerance, they're still our pastors today, he taught me about vision. I remember the first time I went to Christian Family Church in 1979. It was in a community center. There were my mother went, there were four people. I got there, they had grown, there were maybe 50, 60 people. But Pastor Theo would say, look around, can you see? The building's full, can you see? Wave at everybody. And you turn around, there's nobody there. But he's seeing the place full. Some people thought he's crazy. But today, Christian Family Church Johannesburg has 20,000 members, and we have 400 Christian Family Churches around the world. When we started Christian Family Church in Cape Town, we started in the storefront, the second floor above a little cafeteria, and seated 200 people. And I would get to church and I would declare, the building is full. I believe we have every seat's taken. I would get the people to tell me, every seat's occupied. In 18 months, we had two services bursting out of that building, over 400 people in the building. We believed for a bigger building. We moved into a 1,000-seat building. We did the same thing. We believe the building is full. Believe the building is full. And pretty soon, we were filling that up. 1,000 people at a couple of services on Sunday morning. Family, listen, out. God called us to come to America. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. We left when I was 8 years old. God called me back. Our vision is to win people of Christ, to disciple them. My vision is to see this room filled with people. That's why today I had them open the back, because I want you to turn around. I want you to look at the back, because our vision is to see this room filled every Sunday morning in the name of Jesus. Can you see that? Do you see that? I'm asking you, family. Listen, it's good to have a vision for your life. But remember, here's number 4. Make sure your vision supports God's vision. I said, make sure your vision supports God's vision. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God above some things. Is that what it says?
No.
Come on, read it with me. Seek the kingdom of God above some things.
All else.
No, above all else. Live righteously and He will give you everything that you need. You know, God has no problem blessing you. God has no problem bringing your dreams to pass. But He wants to be first. He wants you to seek Him first. So whatever victory that you envision for your life, make sure that your first purpose is to help the kingdom of God, to put the kingdom of God first, to win the lost. If you say, Pastor Steve, I had a dream for my business to reach this level, to impact the nation, I've got a vision for my business. That's wonderful. But do you have a vision for your business to support the kingdom of God? Do you want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing? Do you want to prosper so that you can support the house of God, support the work of God? Because let me tell you, if your vision doesn't support God's vision, if you're not interested in building God's house, why would God be interested in building your house? God said to the people in Malachi, God said in Malachi chapter 1, He said, the reason you're not being blessed, the reason it seems like you're working, but you're never getting ahead. It seems like you're putting your money in pockets with holes. Have you ever put money in your pocket and you had a hole in it? Anybody?
Yes.
If you knew your pocket had a hole in it, would you keep putting money in it?
No.
But that's what some people do. God said, it's like you're putting your money into a pocket with holes. Why? He said, because my house is in ruins. You're not building my house. My house lies in ruins, and you're all building your own luxury houses. That's what it says. God said, come, build my house, and I will pour out blessing. Family, if we want God to bless our house, our vision, we've got to have a vision for the kingdom of God and for the house of God, and our vision's got to support that. Are you with me?
Yes.
What's in your future has so much to do with what you can see. I'm asking you to see yourself blessed. Because that's the Bible says you are. See yourself prosper. See yourself strong. See yourself healthy. See yourself successful. See yourself accomplishing your dreams. Don't get stuck in a rut where you just see more of the same. You might have been through some disappointment, but listen, this is a new day. This is a new year. I believe your greatest victories are still out in front of you. I believe your greatest victories are still out ahead. Now make sure that you put in the picture frame. What you put in that picture frame is too big for you to accomplish on your own. I want you to dream big. I want you to enlarge your vision. If you keep the right picture in front of you, instead of having something pulling against you, you'll have something pulling for you. Like Abraham, even though it looks impossible, God will bring that dream to pass. You keep that vision in front of you. One day, instead of just having the dream, you'll be living the dream. What you see will be a reality. But let me tell you, you will never leave where you are right now until you know where you want to be. I said, you'll never leave where you are right now until you know where you want to be. You will never change your location until you determine your destination. Your faith cannot be released until you have established. You've got to establish a clear-cut goal, target, vision for your faith to be released. What do you desire from God this year? What specific blessings are you trusting God for this year? Is it to prosper? See yourself prosper. Is it a new home? See yourself living in it. Is it to lose weight, be healthy? Set the goal. See yourself that way. See it happen. Believe God for it. Expect it. And then number five, you've got to resolve. What actions are you going to take to see that vision accomplished? To see that vision fulfilled? Number five is make resolutions that you will do. Set resolutions that you will. That a resolution is something, an action that you will take. The Bible says in 2 Peter, are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
I'm almost done. I've got one more and then we'll be done. Just bump your neighbor. Bump your neighbor. Tell him, don't miss this.
Don't miss this.
Don't miss this. We're coming in for a landing now. Don't miss this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, for this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop resolution. The Bible talks about developing resolution to your faith. Now, the dictionary says that resolution means determination. It means a firmness or steadfastness of purpose. It is the action or the act of resolving to make up your mind. Anything resolved on, it's a positive intention. There's a difference between a vision and a goal and a dream and a resolution. A resolution is a firm decision that you are going to make to do something. It's the action you're going to take to see your dreams and your goals and your vision come to pass. What are you going to do? You see, great men have great habits. They have daily habits. That's what separates them from the masses. Really, men do not decide their future. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their future. If you read biographies of champions, the secret of their success is always hidden in something they do every day. You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. Are you with me? A lot of people don't know the difference between a habit and a discipline. A discipline is doing something you don't want to do to create something that you do want. Habit is the child of discipline. In other words, it's something you do naturally without conscious effort. It becomes a habit. Now, when we first, started teaching our kids to brush their teeth, it was a discipline. Brush your teeth. I want to brush my teeth. You've got to brush your teeth. You've got to check. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. But after a while, it becomes a habit. You don't have to tell them brush your teeth anymore because it becomes a habit, right? Habit's the child of discipline. Champions become champions by maintaining a discipline until it becomes a habit, a daily routine in their life. That's how you become a champion. Experts will tell you that a specific thing repeated for 21 consecutive days will become a lifetime habit. What you do habitually determines what you become permanently. Habit's a daily thing. Nothing will ever dominate your life until it happens daily. Are you with me? The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. And let me tell you, it's possible to change step by step and day by day to start moving towards your dreams and the goals of your life. Your daily habits are determining your future. Here's the question. Are you heading towards what you really want? Because your habits are like vehicles. They take you into a desirable or an undesirable future. Where will your present habits take you during this year? Let's resolve to press toward all that God has for us, because I really believe God wants to do great things in your life this year. But we got a part to play. Today, we're gonna set some goals. We're gonna set right down our vision. We're gonna make some resolutions. Will you dare to do that? Will you dare to shake off the mistakes of the past and reach forward to what God desires for you to have this year? Because you can change what's been happening in your life. You can reverse yesterday's wrong decisions by making good decisions today. Nothing is impossible, the Bible says, to him who believes. Are you with me? So I would encourage you when you go home today to seriously pray over this And write down, what are your spiritual goals for this year? And what do you resolve to do to reach that goal? So you might say, well, I want to grow closer to the Lord. I want to hear God's voice. I want to be a stronger Christian. How are you going to do that? Every day by praying and reading your Bible. If you resolve, I'm going to pray and read my Bible every day, I guarantee you, this year, your life will change. If you do that one thing, I'm going to pray and read my Bible every day, this year will be like no other year for you. What are your physical goals? Mental goals? Are you going to resolve to reach it by doing this? Relationship goals? Career goals? Ministry goals? Write down your goals for this year, your vision for this year. Write down what steps you're going to take to reach it. There's certain things. You see, when you do what you can do, then God does what you cannot do.
Amen.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
And then finally, as we close this morning, the sixth thing I felt the Lord put in my heart to share with you, is if you want to see God do amazing things in your life this year, number six, you've got to sanctify yourself. You've got to sanctify yourself. What does that mean? When Joshua was about to enter into the promised land, he'd just taken over leadership from Moses. And he said to the people, he said, we're about to enter into a brand new land. We've never been this way before. We're entering new territory. You've never been this way before. And this is what he said in Joshua 3 verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord shall do wonders among you. Listen, how many of you know we're entering into new territory? This is a brand new year. And I believe God's saying the same thing to us. Sanctify yourself. What does it mean to sanctify yourself? Some translations say, dedicate yourself. Some translations say, consecrate yourself. Sanctification, dedication, consecration all means the same thing. As we enter into this new year, if you want to see God, how many of you want to see God do wonders in your life this year? How many of you want to say, I want God to do wonders in my life this year? If you want to see God do wonders in your life, then sanctify yourself. What I mean? Dedicate yourself to God in a greater way. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. Set yourself apart. Put God first. Seek God first. Read your Bible. Pray. Be in church every Sunday. Serve. Some of you think your dream is too big. You think your difficulties are too great. You think it's been too long. But God is saying, I'm still on the throne. I'm still going to bring it to pass. Hold on to that dream. Don't let it go. Let me tell you, if you will let go of the past, say, let go of the past. If you'll have a big vision, say, have a big vision. If you'll write the vision down and keep it in front of you, say, write the vision down. Keep it in front of me. Number four, if you will make sure that your vision supports God's vision. In other words, if you say, Pastor Steve, I have a vision to see the house of God. I want to see this building filled on Sunday morning. I'm going to help it happen. I resolve I'm going to bring people with me. Let me tell you, when you put God's house first and you seek God's kingdom first, that gets His attention.
Amen.
Then number five, set resolutions and keep them. And number six, sanctify yourself, dedicate yourself. Lord, not my will, let your will be done in my life this year. We're starting out the month of January like we do every year, with a time of fasting and prayer. January is a month of fasting and prayer. Now, I'm not going to tell you how long you should fast and pray for. Some people are going to fast 21 days. I'm not saying you have to do that, but some people will. Some people are going to fast 14 days. Some people are going to fast a week. Some people are going to fast 3 days. Some people are going to do a total fast where you just drink liquid. Some people are going to do a Daniel fast where you drink liquid and you eat vegetables and fruits. Some people are going to do a fast from sunup to sundown. Let me tell you, I really encourage you. There's nothing that I can think of that is greater for clarifying your vision than fasting and praying. Because when you fast and pray, and you read the Word of God, God begins to reveal things. You begin to see things. As you read in the Bible, vision begins to come. Clarity begins to come. I want to encourage you. Join us in fast and pray in January. During the month of January, will you set aside some time in the month of January to fast and pray and see God? Will you do it?
Yes.
I said, will you do it?
Yes.
This Friday night,
I felt the Lord stir me. I'm going to have a prayer meeting at my house. And I'm inviting y'all to come to my house on Friday and come. We're going to pray for this new year. We're going to pray. The will of God, this is God, into this new year.
Amen.
Come and join us this Friday at my house at 7 p.m. And then he said a.m. 7 p.m. We're going to pray at my house. You're welcome to come pray. I'll share some things with you from the Word of God, and then we're going to pray together. And we're going to have a time of fellowship. I hope you'll be there. If you don't know where I live, come ask me, and I'll give you my address. I'm doing it to everybody. Should I just tell them? All right, let me give you my address. Will you write my address down? My address is 467 Oriel Lane, like the bird, Oriel, O-R-I-O-L-E, 467 Oriel Lane in Jupiter, in Egress Landing, that's where I live. That's what I said, Oriel Lane. Friday night, we're going to pray. How many people are going to come pray? Just wave your hand, you're going to come pray. I need to know how many different people. Hold your hand up, you're going to come pray Friday night. Good. Friday night, come to my house, we're going to pray. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready for this year?
Yes.
I said, are you ready for this year?
Yes.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who delights in faith. Your word says without faith, it's impossible to please you. So Lord, today, I thank you that as we set our vision, we do it with faith. We're trusting you. And Lord, I thank you right now in advance for the great things you're going to do in people's lives this year. I thank you, Father, for breakthroughs. I thank you for increase. I thank you for favor. I thank you for promotion. I thank you for deliverance, for health, for wholeness, for victory, for restoration this year, Lord. Vindication in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you. I want to ask you to bow your head for a moment, please. And I'm going to ask you if you would close your eyes. I want to pray for you while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. You know every person. You know the hairs on their head. You know everything about us. And Lord, I thank you for revealing to people, for giving people vision today. I thank you, Lord, for helping that vision to rise up on the inside of us. I thank you, Father, for speaking to people. I thank you that as we fast and pray, Lord, that we're going to see great breakthroughs happen in our life. Lord, we believe and declare this building, this room is full every Sunday in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. I want to ask you, why do you have your eyes closed? Before we move on this morning, this is so important. I want to pray especially. I want to pray a life-changing, really a miracle prayer. For anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I know for sure, I know for certain, I've got no doubt, I know I would go to heaven. If you were to die today, can you say without any doubt, you're absolutely positive, you know you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm asking you if you die today, are you certain? Can you say you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for certain.
You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've committed in your life, it's forgiven and it is washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend the rest of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but just right where you're sitting, while our eyes are closed, I want to ask you, if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want you to lift your hand right now. If your hand is lifted, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands being raised today. I want to ask you, if you lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This is a prayer that I prayed when I was 16. My life changed. Your life is about to change. I want everybody in the room to please say this prayer with them. So everyone together, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin and my punishment, to die in my place so that I could be saved. Lord, your word says that if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said that I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. Say this, I believe in my heart, Jesus Christ, you're the Son of God. You died for my sin. You rose from the dead. And I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Change me. Because today, I confess. Say, I confess. Jesus is Lord of my life. Say, I surrender my life to you, Lord. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. And I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Say this, say, God, you are now my very own Father. And I am your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise.
Amen.
I want to say, there were several people lifted up your hand. I want to congratulate you. Best decision you ever made in your life. I want to ask you, in a few minutes, we'll be closing the service. Couple of things we want to do. It's offering time, but right as the service closes, I want to ask you, if you lifted your hand, please remain seated where you are. One of our counselors, one of our volunteers are going to come over to you. They saw you lift your hand. We have a gift for you. There's a couple of things we want to give you before you go home. So please just remain seated. We'll be done in a couple of minutes. Are you glad you came to church today?
Yeah.
Do you feel your faith stirred up?
Woo!
Vision?
Yes.
Wonderful.
You feel your vision stirred up?
Yes.
I certainly do. Praise God. Awesome message. I'm ready for the year. This is a time of the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. Amen. And I love it. It is an opportunity. But how many of you believe in God? One of the areas of your goals this year is to get ahead financially.
Amen.
Anyone? Right? It should be. And if you want to prosper, there's three quick things I want to share with us this morning. If we want to prosper, first of all, we have to believe what the Word of God says. Right? And the Word of God says that in Galatians 3, the Bible says we already have been blessed. Say, I am blessed. We have been blessed with Abraham's blessings. The Bible says everything Abraham was blessed with, we have been blessed with. And so we've got to believe that. We've got to get in agreement with what God says. We can't be looking at our circumstance, right? But now what activates that blessing is faith and obedience, right? What stops this blessing is disobedience and fear. So we've got a part to play. We talk about resolutions. We talk about what actions are we going to take that are going to change the outcome of this year. This is something, our faith and obedience. And we have to get it rooted on the inside of us that God always makes a way for us. And no matter what lack there is that comes our way, God will always make a way. Do you believe that? So once we get to understand that, we just have to read in the Bible, and you can see from Genesis to Revelation, whenever there was lack, you think of the widow woman, whenever there was lack, God made a way. And when you believe that about God, then you'll have faith to believe Him to make a way for you. Amen? You know, you think about when there was darkness in Egypt. Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember that? When there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. God's people had light. When there was pestilence in Egypt, excuse me, there was healing and wholeness in Goshen. God always takes care of His people. So first of all, we've got to believe that God's word is true. When He says we are blessed, then He will make a way. Amen? That's the first step. Second of all, we've got to obey the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that this is the second key to walking in prosperity. You've got to remember this. God never meets a need. He gives an instruction. Okay? Say that. Say, God never meets a need. He gives an instruction. If you think about when Moses was standing there, and a couple of million Jewish people are standing at the Red Sea, God didn't just open the Red Sea for them, part the Red Sea. He gave Moses an instruction. He said to him, lift up your rod. The miracle followed the obedience, right? He followed the instruction and the miracle came afterwards. God always gives us instructions, and that's our resolution, our action part. When we do what God says, that's when the miracle takes place. The provision takes place. Think about the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. The Bible, they said, fill the pots with water. Once they obeyed the instruction, the blessing came afterwards. The provision came afterwards. So God is always giving us instructions. That's what faith is all about. So when we want to walk in prosperity, we've got to obey the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives us. Amen? And then thirdly, you know, sometimes we think, well, God's not meeting our needs. Sometimes we're not obeying what God's telling us to do. First of all, God tells us to tithe. And we can do, you know, first things matter to God. And if we say, God, I want to prosper and I want to get ahead, but we don't bother to obey His word in this area, we're going to have a problem. We cause a problem for ourselves. We stop God's blessing on our life. Amen? Amen. So first of all, we've got to believe God's word. Second of all, we've got to obey the Holy Spirit. Third of all, we've got to drink water so we don't have an itchy throat. And thirdly, we've got to sow some seed. After the Garden of Eden, one second. We're almost done. Last point. Or coffee. After the Garden of Eden, God never gave man seed. God gave seed in the beginning and He told Adam to do something with it. Aren't you glad that Adam didn't eat everything God gave him? He kept planting it. And that's why he had provision. So as we have the opportunity to give, let's not eat everything God gives us. Let's sow. We always got to be sowing if we want to have a harvest in the future. Amen? So this morning as we get ready to give, we have two envelopes on your seat. One is our regular tithes, tithe envelope. And the second one is our heart for the house. And this was our year-end offering going up to the end of December. However, the end of December was Saturday. So You can still give your end of the year offering. If you say, we had somebody call us yesterday and say, I want to give, but I want it to be counted towards 2016 for tax purposes, you can still do that. If you just mark your envelope as I did it, 12/31/16, then we'll make sure that it is. If you want it to go into the new year, go ahead and do that. So you can still give your best offering towards that year-end offering, Heart for the House. And we are trusting God. You know, Pastor Stephen, I don't just trust God for ourselves and for the church, but we trust God for you and for your finances and for your blessings. Amen?
Amen.
You want to come and pray over the people? Come and pray over our plans and our purposes for the new year.
I also want to encourage you, we're starting a brand new year. It's the first Sunday of the year. If you've never been a tither, this is a good time to start tithing. I challenge you to step out in faith and start tithing. What does that mean? Tithing means you honor God with the first tenth of every dollar, the first dime of every dollar you honor Him with it. The Bible says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. And if you do this, God says, I approve. Said, test me, see if I want to open the windows of heaven and pour such blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. I thank God for the faithful tithers and givers in this church. Now, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been tithing or if you've never tithed, this is a good time. Start out the year. Make that step of faith. Start tithing. The Bible says God will open the windows of heaven and He'll pour blessing upon you. Amen? So I'm going to pray over your offering. I'm going to pray over you today. Hold it up to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for every person here today. And Father, I pray that you will confirm your word that I've spoken with signs following. I pray that you will do wonders in our lives as we sanctify and dedicate ourselves afresh to you today. I thank you for doing wonders. I thank you for bringing breakthroughs. I thank you, Lord, for favor that surrounds us and goes before us this year. I thank you for opening opportunities, divine opportunities, opening doors for us that nobody can close. I thank you for opening the right doors, closing the wrong doors, bringing the right people across our path, giving us favor, bringing promotion, bringing increase. Lord, we believe in you to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, beyond what we can imagine, think, or ask. We thank you for an Ephesians 3:20 year. We thank you, Lord, for doing great things this year. We have a vision, Father. We see breakthrough. We see victory. We sense a shift has occurred. And we thank you, Lord. I pray for every person. I thank you for your blessing upon them, your favor upon them, your protection upon them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for increase and breakthroughs in their life. Thank you that every obstacle they will overcome, every enemy will be defeated. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for bringing our dreams to pass. Lord, I thank you for causing our vision to be fulfilled like you gave Abraham a vision. Thank you that the vision you put in our heart, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. We do not look at the things we can see. We look at the things that we cannot see. For the things which we see are just temporary, but the things that we cannot see, they are eternal and they can never change. I thank you that what we see with our natural physical eyes will be changed because of the vision that we have in our spiritual eyes in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God praise. Say amen. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, this is my year. This is going to be your best year yet. This is going to be your best year yet.
Yeah.
I want to ask Miguel, Dan, all the people who helped set up today, come and stand here with me for a second. These folks deserve a big round of applause. They were here at 6 a.m. I felt like they deserved our thanks today.
Amen.
Thank you. hear Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I mean, you hear every week, but I just thought today specifically, I want to say thank you so much. And let me tell you, this year, we're going to get into another building. We're not going to be setting up every week. We're getting back into the building this year. This year, we're going to get back in another building. And it's going to be better than the one we had before. It's going to be better than the one we had before. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm excited about this year. It's going to be a great year. How many of you took that word, sanctify yourself, seriously? How many of you make a greater dedication to God this year? Now, I'm preaching to the choir here, man. I'm because you're all here. Well, listen, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, one more time. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our life this past year. We are grateful. We are thankful, Lord. And, Lord, we have great expectation, anticipation, hope, vision for this year that lies ahead. We thank you in advance for all the great things you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let this year be the year that you bring more people to the Lord than ever before in your life. Let this be a year to win souls, to build the kingdom. What do you say? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope to see you on Friday night at my house for prayer. God bless you. We love you. Happy New Year. We'll see you next Sunday. Woo!
It's a year.